I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to a Saturday edition, another Saturday edition of the Junkies. Bish and JP on the Saturday morning. Happy Memorial Day weekend to you. It's 10 a.m. We'll be here till noon. Joining us now is my boy Tim Donnelly, co-host of the Nick Cattle Show on ESPN Radio 94.1 Virginia Beach. He actually had his own show in Blacksburg for a while and then headed to further southeast to join Nick Cattle's. He's the executive producer of that show. You can hear them on 94.1 down there, 3 to 6 p.m. And he's my boy, Tim Donnelly. What's up, man?
What's going on, man? Thanks for having me.
How you doing, bro? We were just talking about, I saw on the news that Virginia Beach actually opened their beaches for this weekend, correct? Was that this weekend or was that last weekend?
Last weekend they opened up, but this is the weekend where you're expecting, you know, beach-like crowds. So right. We'll see how all that goes.
Are they opening up the actual beaches or are they just opening up the boardwalks? Can you go and crowd the beach or are there going to be social distancing rules there?
That there are beach ambassadors, which I don't know what kind of enforcement abilities they have, but lifeguards are out and everything. So yeah, you can hit the beach. I think volleyball is illegal, but other than that, it's a beach weekend.
Really? So hold on. So beach ambassadors. So the people are going to be walking around the beach and just splitting people up.
Beach ambassador. I think you flash a certificate of some kind. Maybe they give you like a hall pass or something and yeah there's basically they're
That's
just walking up and you know like a middle school dance, right? Walk up a little bit more space there please, a little bit more space there please.
Right, exactly. And I assume no coolers, you can't have any cocktails out there. That would suck. I wouldn't even go to the beach if you couldn't do that.
Yeah, no alcohol on premises. So alcohol and volleyball, if that's your two things, then it's a no-go.
JP, no volleyball for you and no cocktails for you.
I haven't played volleyball since there was like a 1 month period of time where my brother and some of his buddies would play volleyball and we had a net in our backyard and just destroyed the lawn. And my dad got so bitter because we were playing like 2-on-2 volleyball in the backyard.
Or you just crushed the lawn, didn't you?
Just pummeled it. And my dad was very proud of his lawn.
All right. So Tim, we were talking about, we're basically having the entire Glennon family on, extended family as well. But, we're having Mike on at 11. Mike just joined the Jacksonville Jags as a backup quarterback. Now, I just looked at the numbers. He's been in five different cities in the last 5 years. Of course, he was drafted by Tampa, went to Chicago, starter, big contract, clocked a bunch of dough there, and then backup in Arizona, backup Oakland, now backup in Jacksonville. Do you think Mike has a shot at beating out Minshew, or is it clearly a backup role?
Well, what I can tell you is if you're going to be Jacksonville's coaching staff, it seems like you're coaching for your job, right? At least from the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. So even if it's Minshew's job to start, I don't think there's going to be an extremely long leash there, even though Minshew is such a young guy. So if you're a backup looking to, you know, get your shot, you know, a guy he played with, McCown, got kind of that same deal in Chicago, right? You're just looking for your 7-8 games to show what you can do and impress and audition for the rest of the league. So if you're Mike and you're kind of in that mode, I think Jacksonville's a great spot.
Yeah.
Hey, can I get into Tim's business before we start talking real sports?
Okay, all right.
Because, like, I just was perusing on the web and he's
what,
got his
Were you on his Twitter? Let me guess.
No,
Twitter.
He's got his resume on the web.
Mm.
All right.
And I didn't
Jason,
know that.
You can, you know, when you were At Salisbury, you called you did color commentation on football games
and
basketball games. We played this clip years ago.
Yeah.
And he did BlueHens.com. And this is what I wanted to know, because in the resume he says he called baseball, softball, men's and women's basketball, and lacrosse for live stream coverage, helping double the number of listeners from the previous season, which sounds great for baseball and softball. How many listeners?
From two to four?
Yeah, well, I mean, we weren't in the hundreds, if that's what you're asking.
That's funny.
We went from just parents to parents and grandparents, which back then.
You'll take that.
I mean, it sounds great that you doubled the listeners. I just wanted to know.
That is
funny. Jason used to do a show. You could tell, Tim, your show was on the radio, but it really wasn't on the radio, right?
It was simulcast. You had to plug into, let's just say it was Channel 6 on the TV in the dorms, and that's where you could hear it. So you couldn't get out in your car and listen to it. It was much different back in the early 90s. But no, you're right. You have to turn on Channel 6, and you can hear us. And we had probably two listeners. I swear to God, we had
two
listeners.
49, which was similar, but it was played like in the whole county. And every once in a while, you would hear someone from the outside be like, "I was flipping through channels and I saw you." And it's like, "Oh gosh, oh no, what did you see?"
Right.
Because, you know, we were arguing about Andrew Luck and RG3, like they couldn't get that on the major networks.
Yeah, but you're climbing the ladder.
It looks like eventually, so you played quarterback at Delaware and you were a MassCom guy, right? So you were trying
to
do this and you were calling play by play and eventually you moved to Nebraska?
So. The dues paying portion of my career was out in central Nebraska, which if you think like Omaha and Lincoln, which is like where, you know, the Huskers are, you go 3 hours into the fields.
And, wow. And
I was in a little town of like 3,500 people doing, I was on a community-based morning show. Then I was doing rock music. Then I was doing country music. And that would get me 1 hour of sports talk at 5 and then 180 play-by-play games. So if you're interested in like 2013 country music, I'm pretty knowledgeable.
Wow. What was the town called?
Broken Bow, which is the second biggest Broken Bow in America. There's one in Oklahoma that pops up on Google first.
Oh, my God. So you lived in Broken Bow.
Jason, we don't realize. We just mentioned before you were on, for some reason, we got on some tangent about like our first show and the first guest we had on.
Right.
But we were so lucky that we just started doing something for fun and landed on a big station in our hometown in D.C. without having to go to Nebraska or, I'm looking at his history, Ithaca, New York. Nothing wrong with Ithaca, New York. I'm just saying we never
I would hate to live in Ithaca.
We got lucky, and we've been in the same spot ever since.
Man, I can't, how long were you in Broken Bow, Nebraska?
2.5 years, maybe closer to 3.
Wow. Are you married? I haven't even asked you. Are you married, girlfriend, anything?
I am married, and that's the support right there. She was in grad school, actually, at University of Maryland when I was in Nebraska, and then she moved out to Nebraska, and then like 6 months later, 9 months later, we left. So she did, you know, she was at the celebrity cow milking contest that I finished in 7th out of 8, and she was there, you know, cheering me on.
That's hilarious.
Who were the other celebrities?
We had the mayor, we had a bank teller, we had basically anyone that like more than 10 people interacted with. We were in the celebrity cow milking contest, and a lot of them grew up on farms. So, you know, I'm a competitive guy. I was like trying to figure it out. They, you know, were pumping cups of milk out of the thing.
That is hysterical. Well, you are paying your dues, man, or you have, but you landed back there in Virginia Beach. All right. So get back to the NFL. Who knows when it's going to start and how it's going to look. Can you envision, I can't envision this, but can you envision games with no fans or even a stadium that's a third full? I mean, I just can't picture that. It would be like kind of a glorified exhibition game to me, or like a glorified preseason game. I can't envision it, but I guess to start out, it might be that way.
Yeah, it's trending that way. I'm thinking the NFL has to do something to make us kind of look forward to it. I've had this conversation a few times about mic'd up players and having more interaction on the sideline, something along those lines, because football is unlike, you know, you play basketball in front of an empty crowd. You know, basketball is just going to kind of take up all of the space because it doesn't stop. But there's that 40 seconds between plays in football where it's going to get real quiet, or we're going to hear a lot of Tony Romo trying to predict the next play. if we don't have fans in the stands. So I think they need to do something with audio, right? Us being radio guys, we're always thinking about what you're hearing. They need to do something with audio in that 40 seconds, because I don't want to have, you know, like they're playing on the moon and there's just that hollow silence.
Right, right. I mean, JP, can you envision no fans at these NFL games? I can't.
I mean, I watched, like I said, I go back to, and it's a smaller event than NFL, but I watched the UFC pay-per-view a few weeks ago, and I thought it was awesome. Now, I'm into that, and I was into those fights. They were big fights. So I think that it can be televised in a way where it doesn't really matter that much.
Yeah.
Now, the sound is going to be different. The sound definitely will be different, but if you're into the games, I don't think it matters whether they show a crowd shot or you hear that noise.
And then the question is, Tim, how does it affect the players? All right, how does it affect the players' psyche? So you were a quarterback. I mean, I don't even know. I mean, you could probably speak to it, but how would it affect, let's say, a young quarterback like a Dwayne Haskins, who was used to playing in front of 100,000 people in college and, you know, a lot less than that at FedEx, but – you know, at NFL stadiums, it's 50, 60, 70,000, whatever it is. And then you go and you play in front of nobody. It's like a practice game. I don't know. How would it affect those guys?
Well, at home, I don't think it's going to be that different, right? Because even in FedEx, they know, like, if you see Dwayne trying to communicate with a wide receiver to pipe down for a minute. But on the road, I mean, one of the tough things about the road, and you can ask Mike coming up later, Mike Glennon, you know, he has stories of playing at Seattle where it's like, you know, our checks had to be completely non-audible because you couldn't hear anything. But right. But if you take away the fans, then, you know, you can look at your Z or X all the way on the outside and basically, you know, talk in a classroom level voice and they'll be like, all right, cool, got it. And you move on. But I mean, if you're Haskins, especially going into your second year, you should have the type of grasp of checks and audibles and everything that you're going to be able to communicate it anyway. So I'm not expecting, you know, a ton of on-field difference outside of Aaron Donald this week was talking about how his energy level is going to come down. And I could see some of that where it's like, you know, players aren't as jacked. And after big hits, you know, walking back to your side of the ball without that 60,000 jolt of adrenaline could change maybe the intensity a bit.
How much do you guys talk Redskins down there? We get calls from that, you know, part of town or part of the country all the time talking about their skins. A lot of Redskins fans down there in Southern Virginia, Southeast of Virginia, down the Newport News area, Virginia Beach, Norfolk. Do you get a lot of calls on the skins? And if you do, what are people thinking about year two of Haskins, year one of Rivera?
Well, we do talk Haskins, we talk Redskins. We actually kind of, you know, are splitting the difference here between Carolina and Washington. So Ron Rivera has been one of our big topics. But we did a ton of should the Redskins draft Tua, and there was a lot of movement down here that Tua should have ended up there, which probably tells you everything you need to know about Haskins and kind of his, I don't know, reputation when you get outside of the D.C. area. It's so early for these guys, and it's the way the NFL is going where you have to make a decision on your quarterback so quickly because you want to take advantage of that rookie contract. So Haskins, I mean, clock's ticking on him, and this is going to be one of the years, if not the most important year of his career.
Yeah, we've talked about it. I mean, I said this. Let's jump ahead. If you had to bet 2022, which would be year three of Ron Rivera, do you think Dwayne Haskins is the starting quarterback? It's speculation.
My gut says no.
Right.
Yeah. Well, is that just based on watching him play last year, or were you never a believer even coming out of college?
I'm always hesitant on quarterbacks with short resumes in college just because, you know, it's hard to learn the tricks of the trade when you're playing in the NFL. I like you to have a couple of those in your bag already. But the other thing is, if you just look at the NFL as a whole, it's very rare for a coach to buy in, especially early when it's not their guy, right? New coach comes in inheriting a quarterback with whatever it was, 10 games of experience. It's very rare for them to say, that's the guy I would have taken last year with that 15 pick, and I'm going to invest in him the same way, right? They all have their little wants and needs, and Rivera comes in, and he's coming from a guy like Cam who has an extremely different skill set than Haskins, and he's found success with that. And you look at, you know, next year's draft, if they're in the position, maybe some of Cam's attributes overlap a little bit better with a guy like Justin Fields. And now you're getting into the what if and where's their draft pick.
Right.
But Haskins, you know, to use the term that everyone uses in the NFL, he's not Rivera's guy. So I'd be surprised if he, you know, banks his tenure in Washington on someone that's not his guy.
Talking to Tim Donnelly, who played college football at Delaware, where Joe Flacco played. Is Joe Flacco like a god at the University of Delaware?
There's two things you need to know if you play at Delaware. It's two questions. Do you know Joe is both of them, right? One of them's Flacco, one of them's Biden. Because Biden went to Delaware, played football, and then Flacco was there just a couple years before me. He comes back occasionally, right? Shakes everyone's hands, mostly spends time with boosters. They're building a big new facility up there, and my guess is Flacco shook everyone's hands to get that money. Yeah, I mean, if you're him or you're Rich Gannon, you can pretty much do whatever you want in Newark, Delaware.
That's
hysterical. I didn't realize Joe Biden played college football at Delaware.
Didn't know that.
Freshman team. But, gotcha. But he was there. We claim him.
Hey, before we let you go, I wanted to ask you about the Hokies and the outlook for them this year and you know, even beyond, because last year they go 8-5. They didn't know what they wanted to do at quarterback. You know, Ryan Willis didn't work out. Hendon Hooker took over, was pretty good, I thought. Ended up throwing 13 touchdowns, only two picks. Didn't complete a high percentage of passes, but they lost a bunch of guys to, and I was just reading this before we had you on, they lost a bunch of guys to the transfer portal, including their, I think, either their number one receiver or their number two receiver, Hazleton, right? I think he transferred to Missouri. Is there pressure on Fuentes? And what do you think about Hooker? And were you high on them coming into the season? Because I thought towards the end of the year, and I know they lost to UVA, and that was a bad loss. Then they lost the bowl game, I think, to Kentucky. But I thought it was looking up for them towards the end of the year. But then all these guys started transferring. I know they got some guys coming in too. But what's your overall outlook for Tech for this year if the season starts on time?
This year, I mean, you touched on the most important name in the program, Hendon Hooker. And it's actually kind of interesting because there's a couple guys behind him. Quincy Patterson, who did some fill-in work and won a 6-overtime game against UNC last year. And also Braxton Burmeister, who was in the same recruiting class as Hendon Hooker and more highly rated, who went to Oregon and transferred. And I think if there was a spring ball, there may have been, you know, that quote-unquote open competition. But without spring ball, it looks like Hendon's going to be able to kind of plant his flag as that starting quarterback. And I think that's good for the program. I think Hendon was more than good enough last year to come back and be an ACC above average quarterback. The interesting part is this recruiting class, the 2021 class, was supposed to be gigantic for Coach Fuente. So if you look into the future, the 2021 class had a lot of steam building behind it. And they had, you know, a top 100 dual threat quarterback, Demetrius Davis, committed at the beginning of all of this quarantine. And then since then, there's been a decommitment and he's committed to Auburn. And suddenly some of that buzz and momentum that was really starting to follow the program has gone away. Huh. So I think what needs to happen is Hendon Hooker needs to play well this year. Some of the transfers you mentioned that they're bringing in, Raheem Blackshear, Khalil Herbert out of Kansas, both running backs that can do some things out of the backfield. They need to make a explosive offense. Their defense will always be solid. I know Bud Foster's gone, but Justin Hamilton comes from that tree, and he's a really, really bright up-and-coming defensive coordinator. But if that offense can be explosive, I think they can save some things. If not, Coach Fuente is really going to be on the hot seat next year.
Didn't Hooker originally put his name in the transfer portal, and then he pulled it out?
That was, yeah, prior to last year, they had a 6-day transfer portal Armageddon,
right?
Names were going in, names were coming out. DeShaun McLeese, who ended up being the leading rusher on the team last year, was in the portal. A couple guys ended up at ODU. Obviously, Josh Jackson is in Maryland. So there was a real, real, like, who knows what's going on here section for about 48, 72 hours last year. And Hendon was in the transfer portal.
Yeah.
But then he came out and obviously ended up with an opportunity. And part of that because Ryan Willis didn't live up to expectations, and part of that because Hendon Hooker earned his opportunity.
I got to say that just looking at the schedule, I know they open up against Liberty if it happens September 5th, but I booked two hotel rooms for the Penn State weekend. I got a bunch of people up here that are big Penn State fans. I'm tight with the McSorley family. They booked rooms. I got a lot of friends that are Hokie alumni, and I booked two rooms, and that game's supposed to be September 12th. I'm hoping it happens. I'm guessing it won't, and if it does, it's probably going to be limited fans. So I don't even know if I should cancel the rooms or not. You think that happens?
First of all, how much of a travesty would it be to have that game in Lane Stadium and not be able to
have
fans in it? Just because that's the big game, right? I've been there for a Notre Dame home game, but Penn State, they travel well. It'd be pretty sweet. I hope it happens. I don't pretend to be a scientist. I hope it happens. I know that Blacksburg has done a pretty good job with containing everything, but, you know, hopefully that means they're comfortable bringing people in and not that they're building walls saying stay out.
Hey, back to the get to know Tim Donnelly portion of the interview. Mm-hmm. So he grew up in Ocean City, Jason. You worked in Ocean City like one summer. What was your worst job in Ocean City growing up?
Well, I was only there for 2 years of high school, and I actually one time when I was visiting back from Nebraska, I ran into Bish in Ocean City. So we've done that.
I remember
renting out umbrellas and renting out boogie boards and then having to go track them down when people don't, you know, put them in all the way is about as crazy as I got in.
Did you go to Stephen Decatur for those 2 years?
I did.
Yeah, Stephen Decatur. That's the only high school. I think there's one private school and one public school in Ocean City, but Decatur's the only public school.
Worcester Prep and Stephen Decatur. You're cool if you go to Stephen Decatur.
All right, Tim. Hey, man, I appreciate the time. It's been great. Hopefully we'll get you on again. Just want to kind of introduce you to all the Junkies listeners and all the DC fans up here. Awesome. Good luck on everything down there in Virginia Beach, and hopefully we'll see each other soon. All right, man?
All right. Awesome to talk to you guys. Thanks.
You got it, buddy. Tim Donnelly, co-host of the Nick Cattle Show, ESPN Radio 94.1 Virginia Beach.
Nice.
Yeah, funny dude.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how old he is. I think he might not even be 30. Probably should have asked him. But he's I think he graduated Delaware in like 2013.
Yeah, I think he's right. So he's, what is he, about 5 years younger, 6 years younger than Flacco? Something like that?
Yeah, I guess so. I'd assume Flacco has all the passing records at Delaware.
He's
but according to this website, Donnelly's in the top 10.
There you go.
Good.
Yeah, good dude. Big kid. He was about 6'5", from what I remember.
Gotcha.
Big dude.
All right, so we wanted to replay this Mike Rizzo interview. We had Rizzo on the show on Wednesday. He joined the Junkies. We talked not only the return of Major League Baseball and whether that's happening, we also talked about The Last Dance with him because he's a Chicago guy. He loved Michael Jordan, and he actually did some work with Jerry Krause because Krause was one of these guys who not only was a GM in the NBA, but also did scouting in Major League Baseball for the Chicago White Sox.
Correct.
So when we come back, you'll hear from Mike Rizzo. It's Bish and JP coming to you live this Saturday morning on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. It's Bish and JP from the Junkies coming to you live this Saturday morning. On Wednesday, we had one of our favorite guests, the general manager, president of baseball ops, Mike Rizzo, on the show. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
What is the daily life like for Mike Rizzo right now?
Well, you know, it's pretty mundane at times. There's a lot of telecommunications, Zoom calls, conference calls, that kind of locks up the early morning part of the day. And then I try and make several phone calls a day, just kind of touching base with staff members and players and that type of thing. Kind of, frequently touching base with those guys just to say hello and that type of thing. And then other than that, just trying to, get a little blood flow, some exercise and, just trying to keep sane, you know what I mean? And you know, like everybody else, watching a lot of Netflix and that type of thing. So nothing out of the ordinary. My Zoom prowess is really, really skyrocketed. I'm outstanding at it right now. So I learned how to use it, and we're all set, like you guys.
Right. Mike, are you hunkered down in D.C.? Are you in Florida? Where are you Zooming from at this point?
I've been in D.C. Once Florida, I was down there through after they closed spring training. But once the city and state closed down, they closed down the spring training facility, we came back to D.C.
Can you talk about the draft and how different that's going to be and what your role is going to be there? Obviously, you're going to be – I don't know if you're going to be doing it from the park or your house or what, but how different is that going to be with only five rounds?
It's going to be extremely different. It's going to be the most unique draft, obviously, that I've ever been in a part of, and I've been a part of a lot of them. So it's going to be different in the sense of, you know, communication and IT and that type of thing. I'm not sure exactly where I'll be for the draft. If there is a spring training and I am in spring training, I will do it from our spring training facility in Florida. It's June 10th and 11th is the draft. If spring training is postponed or canceled, then I will probably do it from D.C. either at my home or in the at headquarters in my office in D.C. So not sure where we're going to do it yet. I do know when. I do know we're extremely prepared, and I'm very, very excited about it.
So are they doing the just like the NFL did? Are they going to do it the first round live in prime time and then the other four rounds the next day? Is that how they're doing it?
Yeah, that's how they're doing it. It'll be the first round and then those first round comp picks on June 10th and then rounds 2 through 5 on the 11th.
Gotcha. Well, how have you been, you know, getting around the city? I mean, have you been going out to restaurants, curbside delivery? You know, you live right near our buddy's restaurant, Circa, right down there in the Navy Yard. Are you doing that, or are you and your wife just cooking a lot?
No, we're not cooking a lot. I know that answer is easy. We're not cooking a lot. We are ordering. We're ordering a lot. You know, she's got all the apps, the Uber Eats, and all the rest of those things. So we've been eating fine. We've been eating great. There's a lot of great restaurants right around here in this area that we could walk to and or get it through the apps and stuff like that. So it's really interesting how the restaurant industry has kind of transformed themselves on the move and on the go to accommodate the new normal that we have right now, and it's. You know, it's an exciting neighborhood here, as you guys, you know, since your offices are right down the street, and it's crazy to figure out what the next restaurant going to pop up is going to be.
Hmm. Talking to Mike Rizzo, Nats GM, president of baseball ops, we wanted to get you on actually to talk a little bit about The Last Dance, because I saw that you commented on relating to Jerry Krause. You, of course, are a Chicago guy. You can talk about your memories of the Jordan era. And then what you made of the series, I'm assuming you watched it, and Jerry Krause's role.
Yeah, I thought the series was outstanding. It, you know, brought back a lot of great memories. And I was at the age that I was in the middle of that stuff, in my late 20s and early 30s through that stuff. It was unbelievable. You know, Jordan has been my favorite athlete in the world since he came to Chicago, and I just have a great respect for obviously his talent level, but you know, his leadership and his willing to do whatever it takes to win, and his drive and competitiveness is as good as anybody's I've ever been around and ever seen, and I think that separates him from, you know, just about the rest of the athletic world.
But what did you think of the Krause role as part of it, the general manager?
Well, you know, Krause had, you know, he had a difficult job. It was, you know, surrounding Jordan with a cast that could win championships, and I thought he did a great job of that. Now the way he handled some of the situations, I didn't understand a lot of the decisions that they made about why do you even if you've made a decision about the coach not coming back before the season starts, why do you make it public? Why do you tell people if he goes 82-0, mm-hmm. you're still gonna get replaced? I just don't understand the communication aspect of that, and I don't know if it was a motivating factor for in his mind that they thought that if they thought it was the last dance, he'd get more out of them. Or if it was an ego thing, I'm not sure what his motivations were. I know Jerry. I know him well. You know, he was a baseball scout for a long time, and I've been at baseball games with him. And you know, he seems like a caring guy who wants to win also. But you know, some of the forms of communication and the way he delivered messages didn't make a lot of sense to me. I'm never one, as you guys know, to lead or make statements and decisions through the media. If I have a problem with our coaches or managers or players, you know, we go into an office or a room and we take care of it behind closed doors. And I think that is what gives you, as a leader of the organization, the respect it takes to make those decisions. Because let's face it, you know, general managers, basketball, football, baseball, our job is oftentimes to give players bad news. And I think the delivery and the trust factor and the respect factor that is built up with those relationships that allows you to deliver those messages and still have harmony in the franchise and in the clubhouse.
How crazy is it, too, that, I mean, Krause is one of those guys that work in multiple sports. I mean, you've worked with both those guys, right? Because you also work with Stan Kasten, right, who's done that kind of thing in multiple sports. Do you think you could do that, Mike? Do you think you could pick up another sport and be an evaluator and be an effective, person at that? Was it, say, basketball or football?
You know, I know baseball. I know the nuances of it. I know the movements of it. I have an innate sense that, you know, when I see a infielder, I know footwork and glove work and hand positioning and hitters and that type of thing. I do think that I could lead in another sport and that type of thing. I would not consider myself an evaluator of other sports. I would be a fan like everybody else. When I talk about basketball players and football players and that type of thing, I know athleticism and I know makeup and I know work ethic and that type of thing. But I couldn't tell you if this, you know, sophomore in high school has the crossover dribble it takes to be a point guard in the NBA. You know, that's the type of things that I don't have expertise in. But as far as leading a franchise and directing a group of people to have a common goal, which is winning the championship, I think I could.
Yeah, I mean, you know who else has done that is Joe Gibbs. Kind of exactly the way you describe it, too, as the leader, right? He's done that in NASCAR. Mm-hmm. He did that in the NFL. And I don't think Joe would be the tell you exactly what's going on underneath the hood, but he can put an organization together and he can win championships.
Sure, and I think that when you're talking about the top decision maker in a franchise, I think that's as important a skill as any, because then that person would go out and get that evaluator to make those decisions. And if you put the right people in place and there's a trust factor there and you can defer to other people's egos and expertise, I think it all fits, and that's how this magic happens.
You know, you talk about being able to see a kid, like say your sophomore year in high school, and knowing, okay, that guy's got a big league glove already. Can you go back to your scouting days, or even now as your general manager, when you're getting reports, who's the earliest you've ever ID'd an MLB guy and been correct? Like, you see a kid in eighth grade, and you go, that kid's going to play in the big leagues.
Right, the best major league player I've ever scouted as a young high school guy was Griffey Jr. You know, he was a guy in Cincinnati that he looked the part. You know, the first time I ever saw him, I think he was in the summer of his junior year, going into his senior year, was the first time I laid eyes on him, and you could see right away that that it didn't take Branch Rickey to figure Ken Griffey Jr. out. So I mean, he had all the skills and all the tools and the lineage and the background and the body type and the swing path the skill set, the run, throw, hit tool, and it was probably as slam dunk of a guy as I've ever looked at.
Joined by Mike Rizzo, GM of the Washington Nationals. The Nats announced on Tuesday something pretty cool, holding a virtual ring ceremony coming up on Sunday. Talk about the details of that. You guys are pioneers in this. It's never been done before.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think it's going to be cool. It's kind of bittersweet. The sweet part is that we're going to have a ceremony with a big part of our fan base, bigger than we would have if we were to held it at a regular baseball game, 44,000 we'd have. I think we're going to have, we could have a million people watching this thing and be involved in a ring ceremony, which I think is really, really cool. The bitter part of it is that we don't have that we're going through this pandemic type of thing. But I think this thing is good for not only the morale of the team. They get to see these beautiful rings and we get to celebrate it one more time. But I think it's good for the mindset and the morale of the community. And it just gives us one more thing to celebrate and to have a little fun on a night in the end of May. So it's also a important date in Nationals lore. This is the date where we were at our most bottomed out at this date a year ago, and from the 24th on, we were the best team in baseball and the world champs. So it's an important day in context of the 2019 season. I think it's an unbelievably important part of the Nationals' history, and I think it's going to be really nice for a big part of our fan base in the DMV to embrace this thing. So I'm really excited about it. I can't wait to see our rings and to have them and to wear them around. And it's going to be something great pride in accomplishment. And I'm sure it'll be very, very emotional for a lot of us. It will be for me. I know that much.
You have a ring, though, from your days with Arizona, right?
I do. It's a beautiful ring. I wear it. I'm not a jewelry guy, so I don't wear rings in general. But I used to wear my Arizona Diamondback ring with pride. The most important day of the baseball season, and that's the first day of the amateur draft. I'll continue to do that with my Nationals ring. And Coco asked me the other day on the show, would I ever wear both rings at the same time? I said the only way I would wear two rings if there were two Washington National rings, and then I definitely would.
Nice.
Mike, when and if there is another spring training, hopefully there is sooner than later, how long do you think it takes the players to get back into where they were, first week of March?
Well, we have not ceased to train for spring training. We have a major league coaches and manager staff call weekly. We have the position player coaches are in contact with the pitchers, with the pitching coach, the hitters, the hitting coach, the infield coaches, the outfield coaches, the catching coaches. So we're in constant contact. These guys are staying in good shape. We don't want them getting ready too early in case there's a delay in spring training or there is no spring training, but we want them to be on the fringes of being ready, prepared to go to spring training. And we think in 3 weeks or so, give or take, that they could be in full swing for any type of real competition when the season starts.
Gotcha. And are any of the hitters, are they seeing live pitching anywhere? Or are they just hitting off tees?
No, I think these guys got a lot of different little setups. There's some guys seeing some live pitching. If you're lucky enough to have a pitcher that can challenge you a little bit, that lives around you and that type of thing. Same thing with the pitchers. If you're lucky enough to have a person that could handle a Max Scherzer or a Steven Strasburg, around you that you could do it. We've got a lot of guys doing a lot of ingenuity to figure out ways to stay prepared for the season. And it's somebody should do a documentary on the different types of setups that these guys have. And it's really remarkable. Guys buying portable mounds so they could throw off in their backyards and you know, buying batting cages and pitching machines and curveball machines and that type of things to ready themselves in a very unique situation.
Mike, they could have just hired EB. I think he tried to build a pitcher's mound in his front yard, and his parents got very upset at him back in the day.
I did. I killed the bush.
They were very mad.
Killed the bush, killed the grass. Yep.
Yeah, did all that. Got in trouble.
We always had two bare spots in the front yard, and you know, in the city lot. So we had the bare spot where the pitcher pitched, yeah, and where the hitter, the right-handed hitter, hit. The left-handed, yep, box was pretty. Still had a lot of grass to it.
We also had 127 dents in my dad's Malibu Classic. That was kind of the backstop. Yeah. Wasn't good. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, guys. I appreciate it. Be safe, be healthy, and hopefully you see you very, very soon.
That was our boy Mike Rizzo, who's ready to get back to Major League Baseball whenever it happens. It's Bish and JP coming right back with more on 106.7 The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. It's JP and Bish from the Junkies, coming to you live this Saturday morning. Coming up at 11 o'clock, got Mike Glennon joining us, who's now with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
He's played under a lot of head coaches, Jason. He's played under a lot of offensive coordinators and
a ton, yeah,
QB coaches. I know that when he played under Gruden, not Jay, John,
yeah,
when he was at Oakland, Gruden was hardcore. I've seen like the video clips where he's yelling at Carr and he yells at Glennon and he's just going nuts on the sidelines. So I'm sure that he's developed some thick skin over the years, as he has started in some places and been a backup quarterback in others.
Yep, last three seasons he's been a backup with Arizona, Oakland, and now he's heading into Jacksonville as a potential backup. We'll see what happens. But you're right, he's played for, I don't know, this will be his fifth head coach, probably his fifth offensive coordinator.
Yep.
But you know what? He's getting paid.
Yes, he is.
Getting paid.
There was some NFL news yesterday. Number one, since we just had your boy Tim Donnelly on the show earlier this hour, he played at Delaware, and the number one alum out of Delaware, of course, is Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
Flacco signed with the Jets. So he
will
be
gonna back
Sam
up
Darnold's
Sam Darnold.
Backup.
Yep. Interesting. I guess it's always good to have that veteran presence behind a young guy who's just still learning. But right. It's a good spot for him.
Carlos Hyde, running back, who turns 30 in September, was with the Texans last year. He signed with Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a nice pickup for him.
He had a pretty good year last year.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, he ran for over 1,000 yards last season.
Mm-hmm.
And he played in all 16 games. So I think he's solid. He's not great, but he's pretty good. That'll help Seattle.
That's some depth there, right? Some depth.
Yeah, and then there was some news that the Seahawks, I don't know if this is just Russell Wilson, and I don't know if you would be into it, but they're, I guess they want to look at Antonio Brown, or at least Russell Wilson wants them to look at Antonio Brown.
It's interesting. Right now, of course, they got DK Metcalf, who had a really good year last year. They got Tyler Lockett. They got Philip Dorsett out of New England. I'm not sure if they drafted anybody, but that would be interesting if they brought in Brown. I mean, look, he's got all the talent in the world. He's just a nutcase.
Yes. Even in what did he play, one game with the Patriots? I think he scored. He had a touchdown.
He scored, yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think he walks on the field and he makes a team better as long as he can tolerate the antics.
Yeah, you got to deal
and
with all
you know what?
That,
that's one thing we learned about in The Last Dance. When you have somebody that's that good, and in The Last Dance, it was Dennis Rodman who would just go in, and they would give him an extra vacation. He would go wrestle. They might fine him, but in the end, they needed his production on the field.
And he always
and
gave
sure
it to you.
I'm sure Russell Wilson's looking at an NFC.
Yeah.
I think the NFC is loaded.
Man, it really is.
I mean, now you've got Tampa Bay with Tom Brady. I think they're going to be a contender. I mean, who knows? But they're in the picture, and they're joining teams like the Saints and the Vikings.
And the Packers.
And the 49ers and the Packers and the Cowboys.
Philly.
I mean, it's going to be a battle, I think, even to be the seventh team now that they've added a team in the playoffs. So I'm sure Russell Wilson's looking at that competitive environment saying, you know what, he might be a nut job, but I think he would, you know, if he has a quarterback that he respects like me, I can keep him in line.
Yeah.
Maybe you can't, but I'm sure that's what he thinks.
And that's one reason why I predicted the Redskins would top out at about five wins, because they're playing a lot of those teams you just mentioned.
Right.
Yeah, and a couple of them twice. So you're right. It's going to be NFC will be loaded. Again, just don't know what to expect with the shortened offseason and the possibility of no fans in the stands. You just have no idea how these players and teams are going to react to it. But, yeah, I mean, the NFC is much more loaded, much more depth than the AFC, because at the AFC you got a couple teams at the top. Maybe you throw Tennessee in there along with Kansas City and Baltimore, but it doesn't go further than that. NFC, you can go six, seven deep.
Yeah, you do. I do wonder what the quality of play is going to be like. Let's just assume that they come back and they start having training camps in August.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe just a couple weeks later than usual.
Right.
Maybe they have an abbreviated preseason.
Right.
I'm going to guess they're going to start close to on time.
Okay.
Are there going to be more injuries? Is the quality of play going to be horrendous? I know for years you've been talking about how in like the last decade you've seen less and less guys – number one guys playing in the preseason. And then the first couple games, it almost looks like the preseason. It looks rough.
Mm-hmm.
So you wonder what that's going to be like. And then I was thinking,
the first month of the season, from what I remember, I mean, some teams obviously are on point and they're ready to go, but a lot of these teams in the first month, they just look bad. And I think that's a product of the changing of the rules and the CBA. They've got less, you know, they're not in pads as much. There's more injuries. It's just a lot different than it was in the 80s and the 90s, when these teams would have more practices. They were hitting each other all the time. They were used to it, and they come out in week one, they're ready to roll. But now it's so much different. So if you take fans away,
right?
What do you expect?
Who knows? And then going back to what you said earlier, when we had Quentin Mayo from Wizards Outsiders on, we were talking about the NBA returning.
Mm-hmm.
And you threw out that you could see somebody like Joel Embiid coming back out of shape. Well, in the NFL, what about these offensive linemen and these defensive linemen that are like 340, 350 pounds?
I know.
When they're working out all the time.
They could come back 20 pounds heavier than that.
Oh, there are going to be some guys. That means to me there's probably going to be more injuries. Like I was thinking about on the NBA front, like when do you most often get injuries? It's when you don't warm up properly, when you don't stretch. When you push it beyond what you've been doing, like let's say you're somebody that runs, but you run 2 or 3 miles, and then all of a sudden one day you decide to run a 10-miler. Well, that's when you end up getting injured.
Right, right.
And so that may be the case for some of these NBA ballers who maybe they've been shooting around in their own gym, but they're not running up and down in their own court.
Right. They're not playing full court
NBA basketball.
Yeah, you're not so cutting
you
and sprinting.
Definitely see some torn Achilles coming.
Oh, it's going to happen. Torn ankles. Yeah, I mean, sprained ankles, twisted. That's definitely going to happen, because the last time they played was the first week of March, and you jump forward to maybe the first week of July or first week of August.
Right.
What's that, 4 months? I mean, that's a huge layoff. You're definitely going to see that.
I mean, I don't know if it's why it happened, but when I tore my ACL 3 years ago, I had just started playing some full court basketball like once a week. And then a buddy said, hey, come out on Tuesday nights. We play over at Northwest High School. And I was like, yeah, it sounds good. Second time out, boom, done. Now, maybe it was just inevitable, but part of my theory is, well, all of a sudden I started ramping up and playing more, and my body couldn't handle it.
Yep.
Or maybe it was a fluky thing, and I just landed weird on this reverse layup.
It certainly happens for older guys, but it's going to happen with the younger guys.
I think so, yeah. I mean, look, these guys are getting hurt anyway, like somebody like Kevin Durant tore his Achilles when he was playing all the time. What's going to happen for these guys who all of a sudden ramp up for 2 weeks and are playing?
Correct.
You know, and then what's going to happen, too, if somebody does come down with coronavirus? Like in L.A., you know, you talked about this earlier. L.A. is one of those cities that maybe is – plateaued or has had a little bit of a spike. Mm-hmm. It's one of the hot spots as most of the country is going down. So what happens if Kyle Kuzma all of a sudden comes down with coronavirus? That could derail the Lakers' chance at winning the title.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to work all that out, and they're going to have to quarantine these guys for a couple weeks before they actually get out there and start playing, and it's going to be a lot different. But you would hope that even if a guy like Kuzma gets it, you know, he's young, he's enough, he can battle through it. The guys you worry about are the coaches, maybe some of the referees. I don't know, people at the scorers table, the older people that are keeping track of the scores. I don't know. But I think the young guys will be fine.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine. And even, you know, some older guys.
I mean, Patrick Ewing got it. Yeah, he says he's going to be fine.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick Ewing announced yesterday that he has contracted COVID, has the coronavirus, and hopefully he will be fine. So it's still out there, even though it's declining. It is still out there.
I wonder how he got it, because you'd assume that he's been at the house, but maybe not. Maybe he's been going into on campus and working out of the office. I don't know. Or maybe he got it when he was away. I don't know.
Well, I mean, people still have to get groceries, right? So if you go to Costco, if you go to, I mean, I don't really picture Patrick Ewing as being the grocery shopping guy, but I don't know his situation. You know, you leave, you go out, and there's always a risk. Even if it's small, there is a risk to contract it that way.
Yeah, it's weird. You're right. Don't know what these guys do on a day-to-day basis, but I would just assume that he was quarantined just like everybody else. And, you know, maybe you're going out a couple times during the week, but for the most part, you're just staying home, doing everything through virtual and Zoom and having meetings with your coaches and staff. But
maybe he was out chasing Mac McClung.
Tried to get him back, trying to reel him back in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't work.
All right. So Mike Lennon's going to join us next. Mike Lennon, quarterback in the league. He's 30 now. He's been on five NFL teams, drafted by Tampa Bay, was with Chicago for a year, Arizona for a year, Oakland for a year. Now he's with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He will join us next. It's Bish and JP coming to you live this Saturday morning on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.